For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. A little boy was riding in the back seat of a car carrying on a conversation with his little sister. Their mother just listened to the conversation. The little boy said, "Georgia, there is just so much to think about. I think all the time." Then he turned to his little four-year-old sister and he said to her, "Don't you think all the time?" And she sat there, and after a brief pause, she said, "No, I only think about half the time." One day, Georgia will also learn that our minds, our mental computers, are never really shut down. That even while we are asleep, we are processing data. We are dealing with the residue of that particular day. We are planning. We are thinking. The problem is that we breed not only good thoughts, but bad thoughts. Either our minds will be a cathedral of Christ-centered worship, or else your mind will be a carnival of indulgence, self-centered indulgence. Sam was a distinguished businessman, now retired. We had had lunch together in another place, another time, another town, frequently. He had never revealed to me what he was about to tell me. He seemed edgy, even desperate, as he looked across the table and he said, "I have been having vulgar, disturbing thoughts about God." Vulgar, disturbing thoughts? I thought this man was a Christian. And indeed, he was a Christian. But his mind had become the devil's playground. Paul says in Ephesians 6:10 that we are to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the schemes and the wiles of the devil. Coulter's problem was even greater than Sam's. Coulter was a young man in a Christian organization when he came to me, was being victimized by a thought life that was paralyzing his Christian witness. He said, "When I am off duty, I begin to fall back into my old habits. I think about my heroin trips, my drunken binges, my homosexual adventures. I go to an R-rated movie and I end up in an X-rated movie. I go to a bar for a drink and the next morning I wake up in a dingy motel room with a strange man. Can you help me? If I could only control the habits of my thought life, I could control the rest." Sam and Coulter's experiences were bizarre. But I want to tell you, they are not singular. One had thoughts that he never revealed to anyone else. Another had bad thoughts that he acted out in his behavior. Both men had the same problem. Both men were victimized, debilitated by a thought life that was crippling their lives. You see, the Bible says that holiness begins in the mind. Proverbs 23:7 says, "As a man thinks within himself, so he is." And Jesus reminded us here, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts." Holiness begins in your thoughts. We are what we think. For as you think within yourself, that's who you are. You can fool me. You can fool your wife. You can fool your boss. But what you are in your heart, that's what you are. Holiness begins in the mind, but so does unholiness begin in the mind. It is easier, one Puritan said, to crush the egg than to kill the serpent. It is easier to control a thought at its conception than it is to control a habit once it has been conceived. Paul reminds us that the thought life is all important when he says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. First and foremost in a changed life will be a changed way of thinking. Dear friend, if you and I read our Bibles or go to church or pray or sing the songs of salvation, if we try to change our outward behavior without having our minds changed by the inward working of the Holy Spirit, it will do you no good. It is when your heart is changed, when your mind is changed, that you will be changed. And unless your mind is changed, your outward behavior will never really finally change. You see, behavior that fizzles at the finish started in a thought life that was faulty from the first. Get your thinking straight, 1 Peter 1 says, because right thinking is going to lead to right behavior. Once you think correctly, you will begin to act correctly. But if you do not think correctly, then probably your behavior is not going to be right either. Why do we spend so much time listening to a preacher preach? Why do we spend so much time in Sunday school and Bible studies? Why do we spend so much time reading the Bible daily? Why do we emphasize the importance of reading books? The reason is just as plain as the nose on your face. If you do not change your mind, if you do not have a way of infecting your brain with God thoughts, then you will be dominated by a circus of self-indulgence and lust or your own thoughts and your own behavior. That is the alternative. It may not be as bizarre as Sam and Coulter, but believe you me, it happens. Do you say, "Well, that's not the way I think. That's not the way I feel"? What does God say? What does the Word of God say? Not what you say. Not even what Langston Haygood says, or any elder, or any other preacher. What does God's Word say? And has it changed you? Holiness begins in the mind. When Satan came to Eve in the Garden of Eden, he seduced her mind, not her emotions, not even her will, but once he jumbled her thinking, her emotions and her will just followed right into line. Get your thinking straight, Christian. Get your thinking straight, because holiness begins in the mind and so does unholiness. Your goal, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, is to take every thought captive. He says there are within us the strongholds of unbelief, the strongholds of resistance to God. And it is only as you attack those strongholds that your thought life will begin to change, and you pull down those thoughts and you replace those thoughts with new thoughts. Well, how did Sam and Coulter take control? I'm happy to report that one of those men did change. You might be surprised at who was the one who changed. One of them did not. They began to practice certain steps to control their thought life. They began to be sanctified and holy in their minds first. And this is what they did. How can you get control of your thoughts? The first step is prayer. Pray. Now, I said the first step not because praying is all there is, but because prayer is only the beginning. If I were to ask you, what have you done about your problem? Almost every one of you here this morning would say, I prayed about it. Well, dear Christian, that is a good place to start, but if all that you have done is prayed about it, don't expect to be all of a sudden delivered from your problem and from thoughts that are wrong and a pattern that has been established for a long time. Pray, but just start there. The second step for controlling a thought life and sanctifying your life and becoming a godly man and a godly woman or a godly teenager. The second step is to meditate upon the Word of God, to allow the Word of God to just saturate your brain. I love what Charles Spurgeon prayed one time. He said, O Lord, make my blood bibline. Let the Word of God flow through my veins until it is natural for me to think God's thoughts after Him. Saturate your thoughts with the Word of God. You see, our minds are like cassette tapes. On these tapes, throughout our lives, we have recorded a bad conscience and bad events and bad thoughts until we come to something in life and something triggers the old pattern and the old habits, just like Coulter's life. And we begin to think in the same old pattern. Somebody does something to us to make us angry. Do we stop and do we put in a God-centered thought, and are we programming ourselves to react as the Holy Spirit would have us, or do we act just the way we've always acted? You are not going to do that to me.
Are we changed?
Does the Word of God saturate your thoughts and the way that you deal with people? I want to warn you, you will never change the old patterns of thoughts by a frontal attack. Paul said, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. The only way that you can change your thought or attack a problem in the Christian sense is the way Joshua attacked Ai in the Old Testament, and that is by setting an ambush. If I told you not to think about a pink elephant with big ears flying through this sanctuary, what are you thinking about? A pink elephant with big ears flying through the sanctuary. But if I give you another thought to consider, what happens? That old tape that you just recorded with the pink elephant is being replaced with a new tape, and that is the way you deal with bad thoughts and with sin and with problems. You think God's thoughts after Him, and you put in God's Word. The Scripture says, the Psalmist says, Thy Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Let the Word of God flow through your veins and through your mind so that it becomes second nature to your actions and reactions. There is another step. Pray, meditate upon the Word of God, memorize Scripture. If you want to gain a godly and a holy life, I have found that only about 3 verses of Scripture can I memorize a week. More than that, they all begin to run together. I have talked and taught a course called How to Study the Bible for Yourself. I have had many older men go through that course. And I have had them tell me at the beginning, because part of the discipline for 12 weeks is that you have to memorize 3 verses of Scripture a week. They have told me at the beginning, I can't memorize anymore. Don't expect me to memorize. I say to them respectfully, baloney. You can memorize. Maybe you have to reduce the load, but you can do it too. And I've seen them. I've seen them take Scripture and memorize it and do things that they never dreamed that they could do, and you can too. Can you imagine if you will memorize 3 verses of Scripture per week? That's over 150 verses a year. Just think of how many verses of Scripture you will memorize in 5 years, in 10 years. But I do want to warn you, it does get harder the older you get. And so you want to start a good pattern now by memorizing Scripture today. There is a 4th step. I said the first step is to pray. The second step is to saturate your mind with the Word of God. The 3rd step is memorize Scripture. And the 4th step is simply know God. You know what Jeremiah 9 says? He says, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, nor let the rich man boast of his riches, nor the mighty man boast of his might, but let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me. There's only one thing that you and I really should desire and search after and seek to know above everything else in life, and that is to know God. Dear Christian, do you know God? Maybe you're saved. Maybe Christ has changed you and you know that you're a Christian, but I want to ask you, do you know God? Do you know the God who has revealed Himself in all of His attributes and His nature? Look up the definition of God in a good Bible dictionary sometime. Or read some good book on the nature of God. Several years ago, I spent 4 to 6 months in just one book, J.I. Packer's Knowing God. I believe if I were stranded on an island and had the choice for only one book other than the Word of God, that would be it. It will carry you into an understanding of God that you've never had before. It will carry you to a new depth of experience and knowledge of God that you never dreamt possible. There are other good books on knowing God. R.C. Sproul's The Holiness of God, A.W. Tozer's book on holiness is also heart-searching. Christian, are you growing in your knowledge of God, or are you just marking time? God forbid. God forbid that this should be the only time that we ever hear anything or that we ever have any input about spiritual things. Are you growing in your knowledge of God? Do you know God? There is yet another step, and it is the fifth step for gaining in holiness and controlling your thought life. And it is this: keep a record of your deliverances. You know what the Bible is? The Bible is a record book of all of the deliverances of God recorded in this time in history. What you and I need to do is to keep a personal notebook. Something that I started doing and when God began to answer my prayers when I was in college. I can still go back to those notebooks and I can see how God answered prayer even back then, so that when the times come, when God turns up the burner in my life and I am led through adversities and trials, I can see how God has worked and He's been faithful. Keep a record. The sixth thing is this: become accountable to somebody else. If you're having a problem in your personal Christian life, whether it's some sin, whether it's some other problem, whether it is a thought life problem, become accountable. Proverbs says, in the multitude of advisors or counselors, there is safety. Find a mature Christian who will meet with you and pray with you and be responsible to someone else. Jimmy Swaggart said, I tried everything that I possibly could do, that I could think of, but one thing. I never asked anybody else for help. And so he came up short. You may be facing a need, and maybe you have tried a lot of things, whether it's your personal life, whether it's your marital life, whether it's your parental life, whether it's your teenage life. Don't be a fool. If you need help in dealing with it, for heaven's sake, ask for it. The seventh step is to sing aloud to God. The psalmist says, I will sing to the Lord. To whom do we sing when we come on Sunday morning? Do we sing to each other? Do I sing to you and you sing to me, or the choir sing to us? And so we sing to each other. Hopefully we are singing to God as we sing. Sometime take a psalm. Get by yourself. Go into the shower and shut the door. Don't turn it on. And sing. Make up a tune and sing to God. I'll never forget a marvelous experience walking through the woods one day when I had memorized the psalm, and as I walked, I rehearsed the psalm to God. It seems like good music lifts you from the plane that you are in, and you enter farther in and higher up. You are reminded of the mystic power in nature of God. I said you might be surprised at Sam and Coulter, and so you could be. One only thought about what these steps half the time. It didn't work because the devil is full time. And if you're a Christian here this morning, there is one thing that he desires to do, and that is to infest your mind until you are crippled, until you are paralyzed as a Christian. One of them only thought about it half the time, and that leads us to one final point, and that is practice what you know. Most of you know what to do. Many of you may not be doing it. When an artist sketches a picture, whether it is an antique table, whether it is a rainbow trout, whether it is Marlon Brando, whether it is the cross, the artist will always keep in the back of his mind the basic shapes, the cones and the cylinders, cubes, circles. No matter how complicated, he will sketch the shapes. Keep to the basics and practice what you know. Maybe the problem looks too overwhelming. Sketch the shapes. Keep to the basics. Do what you can do. I love the verses in Hebrews 12 and 12:13, where the writer says, so tighten your loosening grip and strengthen your wavering hand. Don't wander away from the path, but forge steadily onward. On the right path, the limping foot recovers strength and does not collapse. Keep to the basics. Practice what you know. Your life will begin to take shape. You can control your thoughts. You can become a truly godly man, woman, or young person. What about you? Can you say that your mind is a cathedral
of Christ-centered worship? Let's pray.